The Lord be with you. Welcome to the second edition of the From the Heart Devotion, a devotion where we take, did you say and also with you? Thank you. A devotion where we take a look at the Psalms of God. If you didn't say and also with you, then you're probably not Lutheran. But that's okay. I'm fully convinced that everyone is Lutheran deep down. They just don't realize it. Okay, going forward, this is called From the Heart because it's off the cuff and from the heart. This is a devotion where we take a look at the Psalms of God and prepare our hearts for singing that very psalm in the divine service this coming Sunday. Last week, we looked to Psalm 122 and looked at the peace of God that is spoken in the house of the Lord. This week, we take a look at Psalm 95, which is the chief psalm of the order of the service of Matins. A word about the service of Matins. That the order of Matins is a liturgy that is different from the order of the divine service. The divine service is a liturgy handed down through the church that is used to be structured around God's gifts of both his word given to us through the law and the gospel, and also his gifts of the sacrament, the Eucharist, the Lord's body and blood. And when the Eucharist is not being offered, there are other liturgies available to us as Christians that have been passed down through the centuries. One of those liturgies is called the Order of Matins. This order is ancient. We know Luther himself would have used the Order of Matins every morning as an Augustinian monk, and the Order of Matins was around long before him. Christians have used this for centuries. It's designed for the morning. I don't know Latin, but apparently that's what matins means, is something about of the morning. And when you look at it, the very first words spoken in this service, the very first words that you will hear on Sunday morning are the words of Psalm 51, which says, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Those are great words to say first thing in the morning. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Well, the chief psalm in the order of Matins is Psalm 95. It's called the Venite. Again, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right because I don't know Latin. But Psalm 95 begins with, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. It's been over 20 years since I've sung the Order of Matins. I grew up in a parish that used Matins regularly. And it's funny because even though I sung that as a child, you know, from the ages of like 3 all the way up through high school, and then I'm not that old. It hasn't been 20 years. It's more been like 14 years. Anyway, I went over a decade without the Order of Matins. And still, every time I read Psalm 95, that tune, and those who grew up with Matins know what I'm talking about, that they can sing Psalm 95 from memory to that tune. And that's the beauty of the liturgy, is it gives us the words of God to music so that, those words can stick with us. In Psalm 95, the Venite, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. I'm going to let Eldeen read the rest of this psalm to you. Eldeen is a parishioner of ours. He is in a local nursing home. He's been bedridden for over 5 years. He's a survivor of cancer. He is a faithful parishioner, one that I have the joy and the honor of bringing the Lord's gifts to every month, his word and his sacraments. Eldeen's also a huge Chiefs fan. I think if he could, he'd get his hair cut like Mahomes. I don't know if he would or not. That's actually kind of funny to think about. But he's very faithful. He looks forward to receiving the supper every month, I know. And he's going to do us the honor of reading Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. Here he is.
Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise and turn to him with songs and praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also his. The sea is his. He made it, and his hands formed with desired land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord of our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pastures, and the sheep of his hand.
Okay, Psalm 95, it is a psalm of praise. We come into his presence with thanksgiving. We make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. It's a song of praise. The question that immediately comes to my mind is, why do we praise him? And it's all over the Psalms, right? There's so many things that we praise God for. But in Psalm 95, for the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. And the psalmist points to the creation, right? His hands have the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his. The sea is his. His hands form the dry land. The psalmist is looking out at the creation. The hills, the valleys, the grass, the sky, the seas. He's looking at all these things. And it's because the Lord is the maker, the creator of heaven and earth. It's for these reasons the psalmist praises the Lord. But you really get it at the very first verse. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. He is the one who has saved us. And so we come into his presence with thanksgiving. The psalmist sees that this creator, the Lord, he didn't just create the heavens and the earth. He created you. Right, the psalm says, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. He is our God. So he's worthy of being praised. That's the why. But I want to take a look at the how. What does it look like? How does a Christian praise God? The psalm's all about it. The psalm is all about coming and praising God, but how? How do I praise him? So I had my own thoughts about this. I had it all worked out, and then I called Quentin. Quentin is a parishioner at Trinity. He's one of those dang millennials as well. And I wanted to just read this psalm to him, get some initial thoughts from him, and then ask him that very same question. How do we praise God? What's the thing? And the way that I wanted to go about this is to try to answer the question. And I invite you to chew on this too. As a father or as a mother, how do your children praise you? I bring it to the home. It's a little bit easier to understand these things in the home. What do your children do that bring you honor, praise, and glory? What do they do when you as a father, you as a mother, you go, ah, and those, whatever that may be, gives you praise? Think about that. I had my own thoughts, and I was going to entirely go in a different direction with this devotion today. And then I talked to Quentin, and he flipped my whole world upside down. Thanks a lot, Quentin. And he also did this while shopping at Walmart. And the man is a multitasker, probably the only man I know who can multitask. Anyway, enjoy this conversation and be prepared to be blown away by Quentin's off-the-cuff, from-the-heart answer on how he praises God and how he sees his children praising him as their father. Enjoy.
So the thing that I've been like kind of bouncing around in my head is, so the psalm is about praising God, worshiping God, singing a joyful noise to God with praise. And I've been thinking a lot about like, okay, what does that look like? Like, what does it look like to praise God? And so to try to wrap my mind around it, I want to just bring it to the home. So you have children. What when they're praising you as their father, what's that look like? What does it look like when Lennox and Landry and Luella praise you? What are the things that they are doing that causes you as their father to be praised? What comes to mind?
So when I first heard the question, I was thinking, you know, like praise in the worldly sense is like singing songs or, and so I started to think like when you asked about me for the kids, like, and then it kind of changed my perspective or thought to my relationship with God would be that just like even just conversation, like with the kids, but those moments of vulnerability, like if they're sick or tired or scared, when they come up and they want you to hug them, hold them, tell them a Bible story, read to them, but they can just be like a little person. And so that made me think, well, that to me, I feel like is when I praise God the best too, is when I'm, like we were just talking about, vulnerable and saying, God, I thought I had it figured out, and I don't. So I'm yours, your plan, like, I trust you, I believe, whatever you put in my path, I'm going to take and be gracious. And so I think that's kind of the same way with the kids. Whenever it's those moments that they're weak or vulnerable or scared or sad, and they need my arms or my protection or, you know, my voice or my opinion, which is few and far between, but those moments when they, you know, I need daddy to hold me, or I need, that's when I feel like you're doing a good job, or you're protecting them.
That's such a good answer. That's such a beautiful answer too, because, I mean, you took me to Luke 18 there. Like Jesus tells a story of two men who go to the temple to pray, to sing songs of praise. And one of them is like blaring it at the top of their lungs and like, look how good I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is vulnerable and confessing, not even lifting his head up to heaven, but beating his chest saying, God, be merciful to me. Like I need you. And like I'm getting goosebumps thinking about that. Like
I got goosebumps too. This is like weird.
when your children are that way to you, like right, all the masks are off. Like, Dad, I'm hurting here. That's when you as a father feel praised and joy. Like that's heavenly. Like that's a heavenly feeling. And like I hadn't even considered that aspect. So the psalm is 95. What does it look like to praise God? Well, come and be open and honest with him and confess. Like, be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Vulnerability. That the Lord is praised when we hide nothing from him, but are honest about our sinful state, honest about our brokenness, honest about how bad we have messed up. How bad we need him. Psalm 51, David writes this psalm and he says, Lord, you won't delight in sacrifice or I would give it. You won't be pleased with a burnt offering. right? You're not going to be pleased with any of these things. You're not going to be pleased with the things that I can come up with. But he says, the sacrifices of God, he writes, are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. It's why the psalm begins, have mercy on me, O God. Like the little child walking up into the lap in the arms of the Father. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Psalm 51 says, I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. He confesses, you delight in truth in the inward being. You teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins, Lord. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me, but restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. This is rightful praise of the Lord. To acknowledge, like that little child, Jesus is always bringing little children right in the middle of his 12 grown men apostles. What do we do to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, Lord? How do we become the greatest? So this is what men fight about. How do we win? How do I conquer the world? Jesus pulls a little child, maybe 2 years old. Become like one of these, and you will be great in the kingdom of heaven. What's a child do? Nothing. And that's the point. The child is completely dependent on Jesus and recognizes that she has nothing to bring to the table. All she has are right there in the arms of her Savior, nail pierced on that cross and raised from the dead. And that is all she needs. Salvation, not on her. Salvation and life and forgiveness, completely dependent on the Lord. This is why Psalm 95 begins with these words. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. I look forward to worship with you this Sunday. Come and confess. Be vulnerable with the Lord. This is how Matins begins. Oh, Lord, open my lips. My mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me. It is a confession that we need the Lord for our deliverance, that we, without him, we wouldn't even be able to open our lips. Without him, we wouldn't be able to breathe or move or have our being. We are totally dependent on God, our maker. So make haste, O God, to deliver us. And we know that in his Son he has. And that in the blessed wounds of our Savior, we have peace and God's deliverance. Our salvation is a sure thing because it doesn't hang on you. It doesn't hang on me. It doesn't hang on anything that we've done. It hangs solely on that cross, on the one who died for you. It hangs on Jesus. This week, I encourage you to be praying for our missionary of the week, Pastor Charles Ferry. He's a missionary over in Asia. He has 6 children and a wife. Her name is Cheryl. Yes, 6 children. A great Lutheran family. And they just moved to Taiwan. So keep them in prayer. Pray for Pastor Charles and Cheryl Ferry as they serve in Asia. Pray for their family as they adjust to living in Taiwan. Pray they're used daily to lovingly minister to the local people with whom they serve and live. Pray specifically that Pastor Ferry is spiritually guided as he strives to teach God's word, serves, and leads God's people. Let's give thanks that the Ferry family is serving in this part of the world, Asia, a place that desperately needs to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, an encouragement to young families who are gathering around the table this week for dinner with their little ones. I want to encourage you to continue to teach the faith and to form your children. This is your responsibility as their parents. Fathers, you are to lead your household in the faith. Luther's Small Catechism is a wonderful tool for this. You're not alone. There are great tools at your disposal. The seventh commandment is the thing that your child is being taught in our Sunday school classes this month. Ask them around the dinner table, what's the seventh commandment? And if they don't know, impress it upon them. Teach them. God says, you shall not steal. I have a few open-ended questions that I'll be asking my children this week around the table that tie into Psalm 95. Ask them, what are the things that God has created? See what they say. Then I'm going to ask, who created you? Right? And certainly they will say God or Jesus. And then I'm going to ask, how does that make you feel? To know that God created you, that he loved you so much that he gave you life. He created you in his image and likeness. And then, of course, make sure that they once again hear the sweet news of Jesus, that Jesus loved them so much that he laid down his life for them, and that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Luther had this great quote. He said, I serve God. Or maybe we could change it in light of Psalm 95 for our occasion. I praise God. I praise God. I serve God. Luther says, by doing nothing. Indeed, by nothing other than by doing nothing. That's the word of a small child in the arms of their father. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Shalom. Of this fruit so pure and sweet.
The tree of life with every good.